Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians and the sixth chapter. We're just going to read one verse in that chapter. We're going to refer to four different texts today, more of a textual and topical message than straight exposition. However, I believe it'll be very effective in your life if you will take the grace and apply your faith to it. And so let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Galatians 6, we'll just be reading verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to call this message, Which Way Are You Trending? Which way are you trending? Because a lot of times we have current events, but they can or can't or may not affect our current trend. And sometimes things can knock us off course so easily. But let me set the table here a little bit. What do I mean by trending? Well, trending is all over life. You know, the stock market, the trends, where the trend right now is it's up and down and up and down. And there's trends in the retail market. Yesterday we went out, it was our anniversary, but we went shopping for the grandkids. You know, we thought, let's get ahead of this game here. And our little 7-year-old grandson, Ian, he wanted some kind of spider robot hex thing or something like that. And we were all over the place, and I said, let's roll the dice, baby. Let's go into Radio Shack. And I said, what's the spider head? And he goes, oh, this. And it's exactly what it was. Why did he know that? Because he knows what the hot toy is this year. I'm sure if you have kids and grandkids, you'll be thinking about what's the hot toy this year. Or, you know, come prom season, what's the hot hairstyle this year? Or what's the hot stock tip, right? Or cars. I can remember back in, when was it, Ed? It was the early 90s, mid-90s, the Pontiac Bonneville had a rehaul in the way that it, revamped the way that it looked, and it had a nice forest green color, and they sold thousands of those things. Now you see them on the road today, and you're thinking, why was that ever a trend? You know, but there's trends, and you know what, leg warmers, you know, where did that go? Hey, a hit on gold, there we go. I'm here all week. But there's trends, you know, like a spiked haircut, you know, I can't do that anymore. And there's a few guys in this congregation, and they're younger, and they're good looking, and they're bald, and so it's like I'm glad with that trend, you know. But this is what happens. Sometimes we know through no fault of our own, right? But there are trends, and in life you pick up on these trends. And if someone were to ask you about how's it going right now, you'd answer based on your current trend, in the absence of some cataclysmic event happening, because obviously you'd feel terrible if something bad just happened. You'd be like, man, I'm not doing so good. I mean, my wife's in the hospital, and she got this or that kind of thing. But saving for that, if people were to come up to you and ask you, you know, how you doing? You would answer based on what? On your current trend. How things are going, that's what you mean. Where things are going, how it's kind of adding up at the moment. Am I making myself clear about what a trend is? What a trend is. And the Bible talks a lot about trending, a lot. Jesus spoke of trending in John 8:31 and 32 when he says, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not the truth will set you free, because if I told you I just, murdered somebody, that truth is not going to set me free. That truth is going to put me in jail. But if you continue in his word, then you'll be his disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, and that truth that you know, because you're a disciple, because you continued in his word, that truth will set you free. So it's a process. There's a trend there. Is the word of God becoming big in your life, or are you going away from it in your life? Jesus also talked about it in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 28. He said, the kingdom of God works this way. Now, if this is Jesus, and he's saying the kingdom of God works this way, we ought to pay attention to that, right? He said it works like a man sowing seed into the ground, and the earth gives forth fruit of itself. And you guys that have done any farming or just been up north or anywhere where there's corn, you can understand. It comes the blade, the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Right? It's not all at once. It's a little bit by little bit by little bit. There's a trend here. Right? There's a trend. So am I making sense? All right? So I'm going to be concise, hopefully convicting and correct for you today, and clear. This should be very clear. We're going to look at four texts that show a progression towards or away from godliness. But I don't want to just beat you up with it and say, oh, I know I'm going the wrong way, or yay, I'm going the right way. We're going to learn about what spiritual growth really is, about this idea of turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, that type of thing. What does that really mean? Where is Jesus? What are you talking about? And then people will say, well, you look at Him in the Word. Well, yeah, it's not really doing anything for me. What are you talking about? So we're going to talk about that. Now, these things are connected, but what I've done is break them down into specific categories so we can get a better understanding of that. It's going to give you a practical guide. Somebody like a practical guide? Practical guide to discover the patterns in your life. If you can find out where the problems are, you can take practical steps to be able to lead a more useful, faithful, worshipful. Did you know that walking in faith and being obedient is worship? Worshipful, obedient life. Now, a lot of times we don't understand. Sometimes it's easy, you know. You tell your children, stop hanging around that person because bad company corrupts good morals. And yeah, that's not affecting me, or what I'm watching on TV doesn't affect me and all that. And we don't realize sometimes that how we're influenced. Those sometimes it's real easy to say, and I say it like this. You don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. And you can see someone circling the drain, and I've been there. But praise God, He can lift you out. Amen. The problem is that we say, help me out of the pit, help me out of the pit, now give me back the shovel. This is going to show you where the shovel is, if I could say that. Because you're the one that's putting the manure in your life, and sometimes we don't realize how we're doing it. And so then we're trying to see, I'm going to have this one big thing, and I'm going to go to church, and someone's going to bop me on the head, and I'm going to fall down, and you really mean it, and I'm going to go the right way. And then the next day, you're still hanging out in the devil's den and wondering why you have to turn around again. And then again. And you never seem to be trending right. You keep turning, but you never start trending. You see, it's not your decision to start, but your determination to stay that matters. This will make a difference to you. This will make a difference to you. There's going to be things today that you can get and hold on to. And I know I keep saying that, but I mean that. It's when we don't think we ever need to take stock of where we are. We don't have to think that it doesn't matter where we're going. That's where the problem is. We start trending the wrong way. We start thinking, well, I wonder if God's even real. Or those church people. Or that pastor is just, you know, he's just not cutting it. Or you know, if I just didn't have to deal with that, or my children, or my job, or my lack of a job, or my spouse, or my situation. And we don't understand how we're allowing those things to affect us. And they'll be in your life. But there are certain trends in your life that you can turn around and start trending the right way. People say, how are you doing today? I say, I'm trending the right way. I said that this morning to a bunch of people. Are you interested in that at all, or should I stop? Should I keep going?
Yes.
Somebody, yeah. When we don't believe we can be deceived, that's when we already are. And so what happens is we think, well, you know, I get it. I can just jump on and off the track anytime that I want to. But the Bible doesn't speak in those terms. It speaks in terms of trending. You're not going to change everything in the same day, of course. But it's just like when you help somebody with money or with a job or with a ride or anything else. If they are trending the right way, you feel trusting to help them, right? It's when you know you give them something, they're just going to waste it anyway. They're going to use it as supplement to their irresponsibility. That's when you don't want to give them anything. Right? The problem with the entitlements in America is not, why am I going here? Is not that people receive them. Because some people need them and they deserve them in the sense of they really need help and no one's mad at that. Why would they be? It's when people abuse them and they supplement and they subsidize their own irresponsibility. That's when we get mad. Isn't it right? And the thing is God's not going to be mad at you, but the fact is that you can choose to lose. And often we choose to lose. We want to come in and have this great big sweeping change and go to the cross and say, I'm doing it, I give it. But before that body is dead, we take it down and say, oh, it hurts. And then we hang out with people that just want to entitle us or they're scornful of the Christian faith and wonder why we don't like Jesus as much anymore. Trending. Someone say, trending. Today we're going to start a new trend and we're going to start finding out where we can come to God. The truth is we can get caught in a spiritual holding pattern. As we're talking about patterns in our life and trending. But a lot of times we're in a spiritual holding pattern. We don't seem to be advancing in our spiritual life. What we need to do is find the source of our spiritual inertia. Inertia means, you know, it's not moving. We've got to get something to get us moving again. And too often we look at our past and say, it was something that someone did to me. No, it's not. No, it is not. It's something that's happening currently right now. And if you could find that and start reversing that, wouldn't you do that? So let's do that. If you can find the problem areas in your life, you can extricate yourself out of the bad and integrate yourself into the good. You see, the way we get into trouble is what we're going to look at today. But the way we get in is also the way we get out. If there's a certain chain that we're following to get in, then there's the same thing to get out. And so I'm not talking about everything, woo, and I never did it again. You know, God does that sometimes, but many times, change. Spiritual growth is process-oriented, not crisis-oriented. We're expecting God to zap us and then we'll believe. No, no, no. We need to believe and walk that way and then we'll get zapped later. We're trending the right way. Somebody, trending. I hope I'm making sense so far. Am I? I mean, I just hope so. But you can see the way out. You can reverse the trend, turn the tide, and repent with practice. Not just repent as in, I'm sorry I did it. Okay, I'm going to go hang out over here. I'm sorry I cheated on you, wifey. Oh, I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend. I'm sorry that I stole from you, employer. Well, I'm still going to embezzle money. I'm sorry I did this. Let me just go do that. And how does that happen? Well, because we want to. But why do we want to? What influences us to make us want to do the wrong thing? And how can we get to the place where we can be influenced to want to do the right thing? The problem is not want to. It's wanting to want to. Let me go. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we choose to lose. What we're going to discover today is a roadmap. And we might think, well, but you just don't understand. I don't have to understand. Do you understand that? I'm not letting anybody ever play that anymore. Your life and your age and your experience do count for something, but they are not trump cards on the table of truth. So you can take that joker and get it out of here. You just don't understand. No, I never will. I'm not a woman. You just won't understand. I know my parents or my sister or I know that. But that doesn't change the truth. It never changes the truth. The truth is the truth. Now, yes, we can say it without tact, and I'm very guilty of that many times, as you all know. But in the end, it still doesn't change what the truth is. By the way, whoever fixed the lights again, thank you very much. Ted did? God bless him. He's trending the right way, although he's not here. He's helping somebody today, though, so we know that. Point is I'm not saying, you know, oh, you have to come, I'm trending right, so I have to come to church every week. Not necessarily. But if the trend is, you know, 3 weeks missing, 1 week here, rather than 3 weeks here, 1 week missing, which way are you trending? Yeah, yeah. You know, we started, it's, okay, I'll just make the excuse. We didn't do it until it was too hot, but now it's fall, so we can walk again. All right, so now, are we trending the right way, honey? Are we trending the wrong way? Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you got off early, we did it. You know, Thursday I had to go to the meeting at the sanctuary board and then this and that, you know, but are we trending the right way? Is it becoming a habit? That kind of thing. Which way are you trending? We're trending towards exercise. Hopefully we'll see the fruit of that. We had to stop trending to Dairy Queen. See, it's not you can't do this, you can't do that. It's which way are you trending? What is taking over the influence in your life? And I've brought this into a principle and then a progression. In the progression, we talk about your thought life, your social life, hello, and your work life, hello. All right. So we can't think, our case is special. You just don't understand. God understands. When you say you just don't understand, you're saying you won't let me tell you what to do. Well, let God tell you what to do. This is going to be a summarization of the Word of God. Now, as we examine these texts, this might be all you need, what we're going to cover right here in the next minute and a half. Let's remember our understanding of how we grow in grace, how we become more sanctified in practice. How does that happen? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And as we behold the Lord Jesus, we are changed from glory to glory. That means a progression, a degree, by the Spirit of God. But what does it mean to look on Jesus? Look at a picture of him like an icon? No, I don't think so. Let me say it to you this way. When we see these texts today, you're going to say, man, this can be tough. Yes. Yes. Here is the standard. Like we looked at last week with Psalm chapter 15. We saw the perfect man. Here is the standard. We don't meet the standard. Jesus does meet the standard, and he meets it for us. Now we thank God for that. Like, you know what? I'm free. Even when I fall down, he still loves me. The standard is perfection. I don't meet that standard. Thank God Jesus does meet that standard. Well, what do I do then? I worship Jesus. Thank God. He's that standard for me. Right? But now, since he's met the standard, and we're free, And he's loved us, even when we didn't love him. Now, as an act of worship, we follow him and we can strive to meet the standard, knowing that we won't meet it, but that as we strive and as we worship him, we become like what we worship. And so we start growing. That's what that means. Let me say it again. Here's the standard. We don't meet the standard. Jesus meets the standard and he meets it for us. Now we thank Jesus for that and we study him. How is Jesus not this way? How is Jesus like this? You know, we really, honestly, we worship him. If you worship the band, you'd say, well, you know, Shattered Truth, well, you know, Pete is playing the trombone, and he also does the vocals, and Corey plays the guitar, and then Sean played the drums, and I remember when we were all together, they don't remember because we were at the Choir of the Fire, but boy, I love them! And so, you know, and I'm not really worshiping you guys, but you get the point. You find out all the details. You remember the details. Why? Because it matters. It matters to me what happens to you, and here you are. God bless you. That's the point. It matters how Jesus took care of things, and you worship him, and you say, wow, I'm studying him. Jesus was like this. That's why we're spending all the year in the Gospels in our devotionals. You're saying, what do you mean? Yeah. Like if you looked at a picture, there's a picture in the hallway here of a woman holding a little boy, and she's holding a timepiece. And I've looked at that picture over and over and over and over and over again. I could describe it right now. If I knew how to paint, which I don't, I could paint it. Why? Because I've looked at it. I've examined it. I've thought about it. I've meditated upon it. And as you do that with Jesus, the Bible says that the Spirit of God conforms you to the image of himself. Here's the standard. We don't meet the standard. Jesus meets the standard for us. We thank him for that. We study him. We worship him. Now we strive after that standard as an act of worship. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act of worship. We're not going to meet it. But we continue in faith that he has met it for us. That's what it means to follow him. Am I perfect? No. But I'm following the one who is in faith. Amen? If heaven is your destination, holiness is your destiny. Now let's get to this thing. First, I want you to see the principle. That's the verse that we read this morning. Galatians 6:8. Galatians 6:8. Our first text. Only four texts. It says, for who? The one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, when we talk about current events, we talk about what's happening right now. What's going on in your life? But I want you to think about current this way as well. Power. The source. What are you plugged into? Like a current, like AC/DC, right? What current is going on? Now, when it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, that means corruption means what? You have something. And okay, I'll give you, you have an ice cream cone. It's corrupt, right? It's corrupting. It's decaying. It's melting. If you sit there too long, you got a handful of ice cream, right? Think about that with your spiritual life. If you're sowing to your own flesh, and we're going to say what this looks like in three categories. Again, thought, social, and work life. But the principle is, if you're sowing to the flesh, you're sowing into something that will decay. It deteriorates in value. It starts to get bad and it gets worse. And you are looming large. You're talking about your rights. Your God, you know that you can't tell me what to do. You've got sin, or they did that. What about me? Are you saying I can't have any fun? And on and on and on it goes. You're sowing to your own self, and that is deteriorating. It's decaying. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. He is talking to Christians here. So what does he mean here? That you have to sow to the Spirit, otherwise you're not saved? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about saved people here. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Instead of decaying and deteriorating in value, it's appreciating in value. It's eternal things. Heaven come to earth. Jesus living big in and through us. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19 that Paul travailed till Christ be formed in them. That's what we're talking about, spiritual formation. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You got to sow to the Spirit if you're going to get the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Again, current event, what's happening right now? Current trend, what are you plugging into? That's the principle. What are you plugging into? That is what's going to set your trend. What are you plugging into? That is what's going to give you the power. Is it the flesh power or is it the Spirit power? What are you plugging into? Now you would ask, well, what does that mean practically? I'm glad you asked. Again, the Bible teaches that spiritual growth and change is more process-oriented than crisis-oriented. Certainly there's times, like you could have it today. Boy, I had a big old, woo, and the light bulb came on. There was a question mark here, and then the light bulb turned on, you know? My friend Joe Hupchek said that. It stuck with me ever since he said that. He goes, I want you to go from the but, yeah, that's true for them, but, and that question mark going into a light bulb. And so you may have light bulb moments, but you got to stay connected to the socket if you're going to keep lit up. Breakthrough is wonderful, but follow through is absolutely necessary. Now, here's the thing. You can turn from your sin and turn towards God at any time. That's a wonderful promise. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, that means say the same thing God does. Not I did it, but I did this sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. The Bible says that we can submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It says, draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. James 4, 7 and 8. The problem is we do that all the time. We turn, but then we don't trend. So what are these trends? What's the progression? The principle again, what are you plugged into? Galatians 6, 8. The progression. First text I want you to get to is James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is one of Ed's favorites. He's really bought into this, and it's true, isn't it? James 1. The first thing I want to talk about is your thought life. Anybody with me? Somebody say thought life. Because the trail of a traitor starts in the mind, folks. James 1, 14 and 15. Are you ready to see this? But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And we get so literal on that, we think, oh, sin brings forth death. Well, I'm not dying. He's talking about a progression here, folks. I want you to see this in concept. It's a progression. Look at these words. Let me say it this way. We're enticed, then we're ensnared, then we're enslaved, and then we endure. So I was down in Key West street preaching last weekend with Mike and some friends, and people have gotten to the place where they were enticed into a certain lifestyle. Right? Then they were ensnared into a certain lifestyle. Then they were enslaved in that, and then they wound up endorsing something they never thought they would. When I was in eighth grade, I thought, I will never do drugs. That is the stupidest thing in my life. By the time I was 25, 26 years old, I'm saying, this is the greatest thing ever, baby. Woohoo! I'm loving to be high. And how can you tell me? You can't tell me. The Bible says, a stonied. See, people were stoned. You know, whatever. You make excuses with the Bible. It may seem funny to you, but the fact of the matter is, there's lots of people out there that are walking in darkness thinking they're walking in light. And the Bible says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us. And so I was telling people down there, you're walking right into this thing, but they are endorsing it. They got to that point, not overnight. They were enticed. Then they were ensnared. Then they were enslaved. And then they even turned to endorse it. Right? And they attack people that say, look, this is wrong. But you don't just get out of it overnight. Sometimes it happens, but you've got to trend right. Look at the words. Enticed, our own desire, right? Ensnared, we're lured, we're dragged away. Enslaved, it gives birth to sin, and endorsed, it brings forth death. We're lured away, then caught up. We do the thing, and then we die for it. Willingly. The world feeds it, the devil inflames it, and the flesh indulges it. Let me give you something to think about here. If you dwell on a thought, the thought dwells in you. If you dwell on a thought, the thought dwells in you. So you see that thing. But it's on my computer, and I need a computer for work, and it just pops up and all that. Yeah? Get rid of it as soon as it comes up. Put the filter that you need on there. Try to avoid that. Do what you need to do. Put the thing in public. Whatever you do, trend the right way. Yes, it's a struggle, but struggle. But if you dwell on a thought, the thought dwells in you. Oh, that would be pretty good. You know, you go by a bank and say, wow, that thing seems wide open. I'm not going to do it, but I guess I could rob that bank. And then you go by it again day after day after day, and then your current situation starts going so bad, but you've been feeding yourself on this thought that, you know, if I really wanted to, I could. Don't say that to yourself. You know, I love my wife, but if I really wanted to, I could. Don't do that. If you dwell on a thought, the thought dwells in you. Right? I've overcome. You know, forget that. Think about Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm telling you. The trail of a traitor starts in the mind. That's your thought life. What are you thinking about? Now think, that's the way forward. How's the way out? Go backwards. You're endorsing something. Stop doing that. Stop hanging around and being part of organizations and people and groups that endorse the thing that you know is not right. And eventually you'll stop being enslaved to that thing, and then you'll get out of the snare. The Lord's the one that gives you out of the snare. And then eventually you'll get to the point where we are with some of our sins. We don't have to being the same sins over and over. We can get out. Did you know that? We won't be sinless, but we can sin less. Somebody pay attention. You need this. When you don't believe you can be deceived, that's what you already are. Thought life. Some of you are just thinking about something else right now. Boom! There's the proof! Woo! Now, what about your social life? Again, just four texts today. Galatians 6:8. What was the second text? James 1:14 and 15. What's the third text? Psalm 1:1. I'm going to talk about your social life. Yeah, I'm getting there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Walk, stand, sit. That is a progression, folks. It pictures a progression from a careless association with the wicked to complete identification with them. Oh, it's not so bad. You know, it's not so bad. You know, I can control that. Yeah, but they can't, and you're hanging around with them. If you can't change your friends, you got to change friends. It says walking. You're walking around. You know, and like, oh, no, but I'm witnessing to them. I'm witnessing to them. If they're affecting you more than you're affecting them, run. Don't walk. Oh, no, but you've got to have friends. You can't say, all my friends have to be Christians. No, I didn't say that. But you're walking with them. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? And they start making crude jokes. And they start doing things that you know you're not so sure about. Look, if you're not sure about it, it's bad for you. Whatever's not of faith is sin. If you don't know that it's right, then you can't do it. Because otherwise you'd be doing it thinking it might be wrong and thereby violating your conscience, and that's a sin. You better find out if it's right or not. Well, is it really right or wrong to do that? It's wrong for you because you don't know better. Find out. There goes the light bulb on somebody. I saw it. Ding! You're saying I can't hang around with it. I'm saying that watch what the progression is. You're hanging around and you're walking with them. Then you're standing with them, taking a little bit longer, talking about it and all that. And eventually, what are you doing? You're eating with them, man. You're living in the devil's den. There's a difference. Oh, boy. There's a difference between going in the devil's place and hanging out and all that and then living there and putting the shingle on devil's house. So I'll let you make your own application on that. And I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to promote Jesus. Start trending the right way. Start trying to do the right thing. Set a date. Did I get you? Begin to come out. Walk, stand, sit. It's a progression. Careless association. Oh, they're just friends. You can't tell me I have friends. Then you're putting up things on the Facebook of you hitting the beer bong. And then you're putting things on the Facebook of you hitting the real bong. And then you're saying, well, Jesus isn't real. You used to do that. And then they're your counselors. What does a 16-year-old girl have being a counselor for you to talk about sex and stuff like that? What are you? Are you stupid? Yes, you are. Sin makes you stupid. When you don't believe you can be deceived, that's when you already are. You don't even want to know what my IQ is. And I did some of the stupidest things that anybody in this building will ever do. And why is that? Because I hung around wrong people, man. We did a sermon called Protect Me from Me. Another one from this very text called Which Way Are You Going? They're important. But your thought life is a progression. You're enticed, you're ensnared, you're enslaved, and you endorse. Your social life, you walk, you stand, you sit. You say, but I just don't have any friends. You got to make the move. I need friends. Well, you know, bother me. Bother somebody. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm just human like anybody else, and I'm not going to answer the phone the first time or whatever, but just keep calling. We got to go bowling. We got to do something. We got to do this. Better than letting them hang out with somebody else that doesn't know the Lord and is going to teach them against the Lord. See, that's what it first starts like. We're like, well, I just don't want, you know, I don't want to be offensive. Don't preach at me. Don't preach at me. And then it comes to, well, I just don't even want to talk about it. Then you listen to them go the wrong way about it, and you don't say anything about it. You can't do that. You're on the road. Does that happen to anybody? Somebody raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. You know what I mean? I do it. We're embarrassed. We feel like, God's putting you through the test. He's also giving the mirror in front of your face saying, look, how can you tell me when your own friends and they know who you are, or do they? When people are around you, are they better off spiritually or not? Hello, social life. Didn't say you couldn't have fun. You need to find out how to have fun with Jesus, and you can. I'm a riot. Come on. Thought life, social life. Last text. What was our first text? Galatians 6:8. That's the principle. Second text, thought life. James 1:14 and 15. Third text, social life. Psalm 1:1. And the last one here, and we'll be finishing up here. I told you it was going to be brief. Hallelujah. But see, if you keep these texts in your mind, and you're going to examine your life and say, okay, wait a minute. What kind of people am I hanging around? What kind of social things am I doing? And here's this last one. Work life. Ephesians 4:28. Anybody with me? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. And he had talked about the fact that there's this indicative. In chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, he gives you the indicative. This is who you are in Christ. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he says, this is what you do with it. It's indicative imperative. That's how you need to read the Bible. And you understand, like when he says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he says, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. You've done this. This has happened. I've done this. And so you do this. That's the type of thing. Now, he talks about learning Christ. And then he says, this is how to be different. We did a sermon called that. This is how to be different from this text. But look at verse 28. And I want you to see the negative to the positive. Watch this. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. There's an ascending nature there. We go in a progression. You say, but I don't have a job. It's your willingness. It's your wanting to. What about with your time? It's a progression of stealing from others to supporting others. We're taking stuff from other people to, no, we're actually working and doing the best we can, to, we're doing excellent work, God helping us, to, we're doing so well we can help other people. You say, but you're saying that I'm not spiritual if I don't have a job and I'm giving a lot of money to the church. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, which way are you trending? If you're not swimming going the right way, you're not going to get to the right place. Why does anyone want to put a motor when you're going the wrong way? From stealing. How about time? Oh, no one will miss that pen. Everybody else is doing it. Stealing. To actually working, doing the best you can. I know a lot of people don't have jobs out there. That's not my point. How about I'm going to sleep in rather than be here for the cleaning day Saturday. Whew, I went there. You manipulating pastor. But you see what I'm saying? Is it on your mind? Is it what you're thinking? Going from stealing to working. But not just working. Working to doing honest work. This means doing well. Not just punching the clock. But giving it all you got. And then getting to the point where your thoughts are about not your standard of living, but your standard of giving. It's a progression. Which way are you trending? You see, I want to hire someone. I want someone that to preach and teach and do these things if they're trending the right way. If they, all they are is talk and their lives isn't showing it, what good is that? We're here to be channels for the resources God gives us, to be a conduit of blessings, not a dead end. Let me put it to you this way. The proper perspective is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Going from serving yourself. I deserve it. They made too much money. I'm one of the 99%. Yes, I went there. I need this. I deserve that. I did this. I did that. Maybe some of these things might be true. But the fact of the matter is, if you're focusing just on yourself, you've got to get from there and focus on, I'm going to do what's right, and then I'm going to do it excellently, and then God's going to help me, and I'll be able to help others. Your work life. Which way are you trending? You say, well, I don't have a job. Again, I'm going there again because I think people get this messed up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, did you go out and look? Or did you say, well, I'll lie. Can you sign this for me when you don't even want a job from me so you can get the unemployment? That's stealing. S-T-E-A-L-I-N-G. Stealing. But you got hurt. We're trying to help you out. Wonderful. No one's saying that's wrong. Who's saying that's wrong? That's a wonderful thing that we do. We ought to do that. But when your mindset is, I'm going to get mine. See, you could be even making a lot of money, giving a lot of money to the church, have $1 million a year job, and still be stealing. Does that make sense now? If you're doing less than your best, that is sin. Now, thank God we can turn to Him, look at Him, see how He does it, and praise God. I get that. This is not all law. I'm trying to say you can look at areas in your life, in your thought life, in your social life, in your work life, and find out where you're being spiritually held back and start to reverse the trend. This is a real tool for you. Now, we talked about our model of Galatians 2:20 over the last three messages. Grace through faith equals fruit and striving after stability. And I want to finish with that again today. Talking about how growth really happens. Because often we see growth as, I'm just going to try harder. And then we say, look at Jesus, but it still winds up being, I'm just going to try harder. And we don't understand what I mean by growing in grace, what we mean by focusing on Jesus. So, Galatians 2:20 has four parts, and I want to show you something like a sandwich. All right, are you ready? You ready for the spiritual growth of sandwich? Some people are going, what? Yeah, good. You're ready. Galatians 2:20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. That is past tense. It means your justification. It means God sees you like Christ. It means you are free. It means he loved you. Look at the last phrase. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That is past. It means even when you didn't love him and you were ungodly and you didn't care about growing, or you said, well, I'm saved, it doesn't matter, you don't care to tell me what to do, I'm just going to be lazy. He still loved you. That's the wrong attitude. And he gave himself for you. His sinless life, his atoning death. Now that's the sandwich. That's the bread right there. It's really the meat. But the middle part. Because we look at the middle part and we say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And you say, yeah, that ain't true. Or I'm beating him down and I'm living high on the hog and he's sitting down here somewhere else. So what does he mean there? That's the present tense. That's sanctification. He's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. I begin to believe that I know that he's living in me and he wants to do something right. And so then it tells you what to do. The life I do live, it says, I don't live in the flesh, but then it says, I do. I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Does that mean I have faith and so I can overcome? No, it means faith even when you're overwhelmed. He did overcome. And so you can keep walking that way even though I'm never going to make it. I can't dunk a basketball. I'm 5 foot tall. I'm in my 40s. I can't jump. I'm overweight. You've got to be kidding me. My bones ache. I can't hardly get out of bed. But yeah, but what? But the basketball God says, I can do it, so I'm going to do it. God has these goals right in front of you with your thought life, with your social life, with your work life, and you won't meet them perfectly, but you live by having faith in the Son of God that he did it for you. And so since he did it for you, as an act of worship, you follow the way he goes. You won't do it perfectly, but as you keep following him, seeing how he does it, you believe that he did it. He loved me. He gave himself for me. The life I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Thank God. I may be in the back of the parade, but I'm in the parade. He leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And so what am I saying? What have we been saying? We've got to keep doing this until it gets into our hearts. We remind ourselves of the truth. What's the truth? I've been crucified with Christ. I'm saved, brother. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, I was. My sins were right there. And then we renew our minds around this truth. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He does want to live big inside of you. He does want to pull you out of that sin that you're in. He does want you to see him living big in your life and you going through and following him into victory. Not sin less, but you will sin less. And you can be happy. And this not be such a burden. His burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But you've got to learn to yoke up to him and let him do the work. It's not let go and let God. It's don't let go of God. We remind ourselves of this truth. What truth? I've been crucified with Christ. I'm justified. Hallelujah. We renew our minds around this truth. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Yes, I know it's not perfectly happening right now, but which way are you trending? And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We repent toward this truth. I live by faith in the Son of God. You know, I'm just miserable and all that, but I know he loves me. I know... And I can do it because he wants me to. I have faith in him that he's doing it for me. Even if I fall down, I have the cross before me. Right? We remind ourselves of this truth. We renew our minds around this truth. We repent towards the truth. Repent means turn around. But we need not just to turn, we need to trend. I live by faith in the Son of God. Oh boy, he hates me. I fell down. No, he doesn't hate me. He loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I didn't. Everybody else saw me. Oh, I sinned. And all. No, I'm looking this way. I have faith in the Son of God no matter what anybody else thinks about me. I live my life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We rest in the truth. You want to get to the place where there's a rest? Well, you remind yourselves of that truth. And then it becomes more and more to you because you renew your mind around this truth. And so then you live and you repent towards that truth. And as you do that, you have this assurance and it becomes big on your life. And then you start flowing the right way and you start trending the right way. Let me ask you a question and I'll finally finish. Which way are you trending? He's the standard. We don't meet the standard. He meets the standard.